We really need some new life, some new blood.
Like Raymond Burr wasn't a young guy, but he was like, he wasn't white in the head, you know, gray in the hair.
Is that a term? White
slow,
in the head?
Slow in the stance.
Man, he's a bit white in the head, slow in the stance. Jaysha, what happened to our deep space milk biscuit supply?
Our deep space supply of milk biscuits G-Force set us up with?
Yeah, we had enough to last us at least 5 years.
Yeah, I got through those the first day we were here. And I checked the serving suggestions and yeah, they were meant to last us, I think, more than a year.
It's like Lord of the Rings Limbus bread.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like one mouthful's enough to fill your stomach for a week.
You're going to chuck a, I'm going to chuck a milk, half-eaten milk biscuit behind you and then blame you if G-Force comes to check up on us.
Crumple it next to Frodo's body while he's sleeping.
Yeah.
Next to Sam's body, yeah.
Milk biscuit crumbs.
If we're ever convicted of murder, of any crime.
Yeah.
That's how you know if it's us or not. If there's no milk biscuits, we're in the clear.
We probably need to preface this for everyone listening. Milk biscuits are our favorite snack. It's powdered milk in the form of a biscuit that I think you can only get here in New Zealand.
Mm.
And G-Force was very kind to set us up with a supply that we've already gotten through. Yeah. So thank you, G-Force.
There's nothing like spending a day in deep space on your ship.
Mm-hmm.
In a chair with a Boss coffee in one hand.
Wow.
Milk biscuit in the other.
We're becoming corporate sellouts, even though we're not actually selling out and don't have any money to show for it, which is just even sadder somehow.
We just have brands we like, okay? Everybody's got their favorite brands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, everybody, welcome back to Podzilla. This is a show where me and my co-host, my brother, Jaysha.
Hey, guys.
I'm Micah. We watch a bunch of kaiju media.
Yeah.
I'm thrown off by the fact that we can't say that we're exclusively covering Godzilla anymore.
Hey guys, welcome back to Podzilla, where we have covered every single piece of Godzilla and Godzilla adjacent media.
But we're not doing that anymore.
But whoa, hold up. Now we're doing all the Gamera stuff.
Yeah.
And what that includes is the single Gamera Americanization from 1966.
I rocked up to Jaysha. We sat down in front of our little screen. I was so pumped to see the second movie in the Gamera series. And just like Podzilla season one, our second episode is an Americanization. Back to the good old days.
Yeah. You know, it's a mistake. We're already making mistakes with Gamera because I think the second Japanese Gamera film came out before this Americanization came out. So we're off the rails already. But to bring us back to like Podzilla basics, Micah, do you have some... Is it Godzilla news for us? Some kaiju news?
Kaiju news? I mean, I guess it's not really... It's still Mega News Lawn.
Mega News Lawn. It's been a while.
There's been a couple things happening in the recent Godzilla history in the past few weeks. One of the bigger things is, have you heard of this new short film that they've announced? Godzilla Attack on Tokyo.
Yeah. We all heard rumors of a live-action series that Toho was doing. Is this different to that?
I have no clue. I don't know if that's still in the pipeline, but they've announced that they've got this new short film that they're planning on projecting onto the Tokyo Metropolitan Government Building number 1 on April 27th. So that's probably, that's happening today.
The day of us recording.
Oof, yeah. But it's going to feature the Super X2.
Wow.
Defending the building against Godzilla. So real throwback there.
What kind of styled Godzilla is it? Does it look like it's from a specific era? Because X2 was from Heisei.
It is Heisei Godzilla.
Yeah, Heisei Godzilla. Interesting. Wow. I wonder if we're ever going to be able to see this footage because it is projected onto a vertical building.
Surely there'll be a mobile recording of this building somewhere.
Yeah, surely we're going to be able to see it in some way. Random.
Very random. Also in slight movie news, O'Shea Jackson Jr.
O'Shea Jackson Jr.
He's been going hard with his repping for G-Team. This is his proposed series set in the Monsterverse.
Yeah.
He showed up as a character in King of the Monsters, and ever since then, he's just been hard out pushing for him to be like the protag in this little side series he does.
If no one's aware, off the back of Godzilla King of the Monsters, he came up with kind of a story treatment for a spin-off Godzilla show set in the Monsterverse, where it's about Monarch's G team that exclusively hunt down Godzilla and other kaiju in the world. I think one of the bits of concept art he had done for G-Team was of a Monsterverse-styled Gigan.
And maybe Biollante as well, yeah. I want to say. But he has posted on Twitter that he's had a meeting with Monster Mash 042, and he is one of the concept artists for most of the Monsterverse movies they've done in the past.
Whoa, even recently Godzilla X Kong,
yep,
right?
Yeah, Godzilla X Kong.
Yep.
So he's collecting his own little Avengers team of like people he can get behind this project to help support it.
Wow.
Which is kind of interesting, kind of cool.
O'Shea Jackson, Podzilla's ready.
We're right here.
Podzilla's ready to help get G-Team off the ground.
As well as movie news, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire has just premiered in Japan. And there have been so many good posts on Reddit, on Twitter, all these Japanese translated reviews coming in.
Yeah.
And I swear every single one of them is like, I saw Minus One and my brain was elevated. I saw Godzilla X Kong and I feel dumb again. 5 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, it seems like the common sentiment coming out of Japan is that Godzilla X Kong is stupid and dumb, but it's really fun and they're really enjoying it.
I saw one that was saying how it's like how when you're a kid, when you do like action figure fights, you're just banging them against one another. Yeah. And it was the funnest thing ever. And that's basically what this movie is.
It's funny that they've got that sentiment because I think that's how both of us kind of felt as well. But it's just interesting hearing from them like that Minus One was this huge crowning achievement for them almost. But they're still really happy that this American stuff exists and they still enjoy it for what it is.
It reminds me a lot of how sometimes we can view like real action anime.
Yeah.
How a lot of it is for the thrill of just seeing these awesome fights on screen. And I feel like that sentiment's coming across well. Quickly in comic book news.
My goodness.
Godzilla versus Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 2. Have you seen this?
No, I knew that there was a comic series, Godzilla teaming up with the Power Rangers. I wasn't aware that run ended and then there's been a second run. Like this is the official... The second series?
It's the age of second runs. So I don't know too much about it, but they've released a cover for this comic run. And it's full on just Godzilla in his own Power Rangers like mech suit.
Wait, is it someone in a Baragon Power Rangers outfit?
Wait, I didn't even see this.
They've all got
the yellow Baragon
Power Ranger outfits.
There's this pink Mothra inspired one, blue Anguirus.
Wow.
Red Rodan. These are smaller Godzilla. It seems like Godzilla might be wearing a Gigan-themed one.
That's crazy.
This makes me want to read more Godzilla comics.
Yeah, there's some wild stuff. Did the Godzilla versus Justice League run just finish as well, I think? Or
yep.
It's finishing up?
That was a kind of not really tie-in with the Monsterverse Godzilla and Kong. But yep. They were both in that. They were both very prominent.
Yeah, I mean, we are... coming to the close of covering most of the Godzilla Monsterverse tie-in graphic novels over on our Patreon, patreon.com/podzilla. We've got a few more left, and we'd really love to, I think we should delve into some of this crazy stuff and crossovers and a lot more of the comics that aren't specifically tied to an era of Godzilla, because there's some real cool stuff out there, so stay tuned.
There are a lot of real cool comics coming out. There's what's the Manila like Monster Camp one coming out?
Manila
soon?
On Monster Island or something?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. The Here There Be Dragons 2 series has just started coming out. One of its main headlining characters is like a Cthulhu styled Hedorah.
That's crazy.
On the seas, which looks epic.
That's crazy. That's so cool.
I want to get my hands on that real soon. And the most recent bit of news, this has just come in the past few days from when we're recording, is the second season of like Godzilla Gigabash crossover.
Yeah.
They had a crossover where this awesome fighting game, Gigabash, all about these different kaiju fighters and, you know, totaling cities. You're playing as these supersized monsters. They had some Godzilla characters introduced. I think it was Destroyer, Godzilla.
Kuryu and Gigan?
Kuryu and Gigan, yeah.
Yeah.
This recent one is called the Godzilla Nemesis DLC. So they're going to bring in 4 more characters and they released a little teaser for it. And it seems like one of the characters is going to be King Ghidorah because of all this lightning happening in the background. But Jesh, I want to hear your theories for who the other three characters are going to be.
The Nemesis characters? Yeah, well, I mean, if you're introducing Godzilla characters to a fighting game, titling it Nemesis, they have to be bad guys, right? I'm guessing.
Manila.
No. Nemesis? Yeah, Manila, Meguma, Skeleturtle.
Skeleturtle.
No, no. Okay, here's my proper guess, right? Showa Mechagodzilla.
I like it, yeah.
Because they already had Kiryu, but Showa Mechagodzilla is quite different. Showa Mechagodzilla, King Ghidorah, Monster X from Final Wars.
Ooh, okay.
And that could be interesting. And then Hedorah. I reckon Hedorah would be pretty awesome. Mm. Or Biollante, just as a runner-up, just in case.
I think King Ghidorah and I want to say Hedorah while are like the two I'm real confident about.
Yeah.
I don't know about Biollante simply because there is another plant-based character
already in
the main roster,
right,
for the game, unless they do like the second version of their character.
Yeah.
I think those two, I'd be curious if they do another like GMK or minus one Godzilla variant. But I think Mechagodzilla is also going to come in. If I had to throw another wild guess out there, give me Batra.
Batra.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking...
Mothra's not in the game, is she?
Mothra's not in the game. Rodan's not in the game. And I guess they're both... they were technically like Godzilla's enemies at one point.
You could totally get like a...
Flying...
A companion little DLC. Yeah. Get like Anguirus, Baragon, Mothra.
Rodan.
Mothra Larvae, Rodan.
There it is. I'm excited. I need to give Gigabash another go because they recently had the Ultraman DLC added as well. I think there's been rumors of Gamera DLC being added to the game. So I suck at Gigabash, but I'd love to give it another go.
That DLC is coming out in just 3 weeks from now, so it won't be too long.
Whoa.
We should get right back into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's make that be the game where we're like the top 100 players in the world.
Well, it's interesting because we tried to have a Gigabash game night in our Discord a while ago. And because we're in New Zealand, it's literally impossible for us to enter anyone outside of New Zealand's lobbies because our latency is too crazy over here. So, you know, we could be like number one in New Zealand, probably. There's probably not many
number
New Zealand
one
players.
In New Zealand.
Yeah, let's try to be number one Gigabash players in Oceania.
I'm looking forward to it. Jayshia, that's going to be Mega Newslong for today.
Mega Newslong, our old friend. New segment. New Podzilla adjacent segment.
Whoa.
You ready, Micah?
Yeah.
Podcast of the Apes.
You ready? I know where this is headed.
I have been sick for the last weekend. I spent yesterday on the couch, half the day napping, half the day binging Planet of the Apes movies. And Micah, let me tell you, what a trip. These Planet of the Apes movies, they're big Podzilla adjacent, right? Because...
apes,
Kong, they're monkeys. they're made in like the 60s and 70s, where Godzilla movies also came out in those years.
Yeah, it's adjacent because they were made in the same decade.
Yeah.
That's how we connect every movie ever.
Exactly. Yeah, they're officially adjacent. I really enjoyed the Planet of the Apes movies, the old school ones. I'd never seen them before. I'm slowly working my way because here at Podzilla, we like to dive deep into franchises. And I couldn't help myself. I found out there were 5 Planet of the Apes television movies, made for TV films, that combine episodes of the Planet of the Apes TV show.
Is it a TV show?
Yeah.
We can't just watch the new 3 movies that have come out in the past decade or so.
No.
You have to go all the way back. I thought there were only like 6 Apes movies.
Yeah.
But I've been seeing your Letterboxd in the past literal day or two.
Yeah, man.
And it's just been... movie after movie after movie, and the names have been getting so much more chaotic the longer they've gone on. What's the most recent one you've been watching?
Treachery and Greed on the Planet of the Apes, Micah. What a film, let me tell you. But I'm going to be petitioning for us to, you know, when Gamera's done, when whatever other monster series we're going to do one day we're going to get to Planet of the Apes. Mark my words.
Podcast of the Apes.
The ground. Yeah. We're going to find a proper connection. We're going to do it.
We could find one.
We can find one.
You could easily find a connection.
There's connections
there.
Everywhere. We'll wait for the Godzilla on the Planet of the Apes comic graphic novel series to
come
out.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's going to happen in the next 10 years.
Yeah, well.
Absolutely. Mark our words, that is our official Podzilla prediction.
Yeah.
Come back to this episode.
Godzilla on the Planet of the Apes. Get ready. But anyways, we are skirting around the fact that we have to talk about Gamera the Invincible. Gamera spelled with two M's.
Yeah, this isn't Gamera. This is Gamera.
Gamera, the Invincible from 1966. The Americanization. And before I hand it over to you for a synopsis, Mike, I can't wait to see how you synopsize a movie we just did a synopsis for last week. But I'll just go, I thought we could go into a bit of history before we even get started in our discussion. Because we are professionals, I'd like to say, when it comes to Americanizations. We are one of the major, we are two of the major knowledgeable persons in this field. Would you say so?
We are the two knowledgeable persons in the Americanization field.
Yeah.
Sure, we've seen our fair share.
There's like...
we've rewatched our fair share of Americanizations.
20 Godzilla Americanizations or whatever. Gamera the Invincible, this film we just watched, was actually the only Showa Gamera flick to get an American theatrical release.
Mm.
And it's the only Gamera movie to be made into an Americanization.
Is there a reason for that, Jasha?
I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure. I'm sure we'll get into it and to see how well these films do later down the track. But this one in particular, Gamera the Giant Monster, was acquired and altered by Harris Associates, Inc. for its American release. It's done by Harris Associates. And shots and scenes have been moved around. Some have been deleted completely. There was a subplot in Gamera the Giant Monster where there's a photographer, Oyagi, and he has a one-sided relationship with a journalist named Kyoko.
This is the whole goddess subplot.
Yeah, and he's calling her his goddess of good luck. That's just completely removed from this film completely, the Americanization. Toshio's role is de-emphasized a bit. There's a few of his scenes that have been removed. Gamera's origins and connection to Atlantis has been taken out of this completely. Authorities are initially unsure of Gamera's existence. It's kind of something that they hear on the grapevine and then confirm later on. New footage has been added in New York featuring American actors. The terrible American actors from Gamera the Giant Monster have been completely removed from this version and replaced with better actors. We'll get into it. But the last and like most prominent change is that an extra M has been added into its title. For some reason.
It's crazy when you say that the biggest change of this movie is the fact that they changed the name of the movie.
Yeah, they changed Gamera's name. Well, kind of. They changed how it's spelled. But apparently it was added to prevent American audiences from mistaking the name for Camera. Camera. They're like, oh, no, we can't do Gamera. They'll think it's just a camera.
Not Camera the Invincible.
No one's going to want to see a film about a giant camera destroying
the giant
cities.
Monster.
You know? Who's going to watch that? So they had to add in that extra M to distinguish it.
I really want to know if there's an alternate timeline where... these are the things I think about. If they did call it Gamera without an extra M,
yeah,
would there be one more ticket sold? Would there be one less ticket sold? Would anybody have actually...
who's going to think it's Camera?
In like, an alternate universe, one less person saw the movie.
We have so many words in the English language that are the exact same as other words, just of a different starting letter. Like, how dumb do they think people are? Very dumb. Very dumb with the scenes they add in this movie to over-explain
things. The exposition?
Things. But I'll hand it over to you, Micah. Bring us into Gamera the Invincible.
When an unidentified stealth aircraft carrying nuclear weapons crashes into an icy plane in the Arctic, a giant bipedal turtle emerges. Slowly around the world, multiple accounts of fiery flying saucers are seen, all of which are misidentified accounts of Gamera, the giant monster. Gamera soon makes it clear that he is not a turtle to be reckoned with, striking villages on the outer islands of Japan and attacking power plants. A council of high-ranking officials from over the earth come to the conclusion that Gamera carries within him an internal furnace, leading him to consume vast amounts of inorganic materials or risk death from starvation. Gamera escapes every trap the UN Defense Force lays for him. High-tension electric wires, experimental cadmium freezing bombs, and even flipping him onto the back of his shell. Nothing seems to stop the beast. Japan instead pivots to trying to feed the creature, keeping him occupied until the Plan Z is prepared. What is Plan Z, you ask? We don't know. No one knows. until the film's final moments where Gamera is led by towers of flames to a launching platform where he is swallowed up by a capsule that is shot into space. Plan Z, a complete success. While Gamera could not be vanquished on Earth, the world is now safe from his terror as he is banished to the barren plains of Mars. How'd it do, Jasher?
Wow, it feels like I'm in New York right now. That wasn't last week's synopsis, just done with American accent, right?
Absolutely, it was.
That's completely brand new.
No, sorry. Yeah, brand new.
Brand new.
For April Fools, we need to make a new podcast and call it Podzilla the Americanization.
Yeah.
Can we please do that?
We need to film an Americanization. We need to take one of these...
We could do it ourselves.
...well-known Godzilla Gamera movies and just insert ourselves into it.
Or the... What would you call it? The New Zealandization?
The New Zealandization. I'm noting that down. Let me write that down. That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
You and that meme. I love it. That's the mark. That's like your calling card.
Yeah.
On Discord.
Good stuff. This movie starts just where you want all movies to start, with voiceover, Micah.
Mm.
As it starts similarly to how Gamera the Giant Monster starts. There is this zoologist out in the Arctic. There is a ship out in the Arctic. There are random undisclosed planes out in the Arctic. But we have a voiceover that says maybe one of my favorite lines in the movie. Here a ship gropes the ice fields in the Antarctic. What a line. Do you, when you see a ship breaking through ice, would you say that ship's groping the ice, Micah?
If you have a chance to remake this really well-grossed movie from Japan to the American audience, you're like, you got your quill, you're writing down, the first line is going to be fire. Why on earth would you open up with this?
The ice was groped in the first scene. Then we get a whole lot of scenes with our new American cast. And this actually came to a relief for me. I was relieved.
Usually with Americanizations, you expect, you have your Japanese scenes. Usually with the Americanizations, you would expect that it cuts to some real badly done American exposition.
Yeah.
That was already done in the original.
Yeah, that's the thing. There were terrible American actors in the original. We talked about it, but these guys that sounded and looked like they were forgetting lines mid-sentence, they were reading off of like notes and you could see them reading and not even looking at the actors or acting properly. So that was already in it. And it made that movie suck. It made the start of that movie just feel real dumb.
If American audiences saw that, instant boycott.
Yeah, exactly. Americans can't look stupid. So they needed to take all that stuff out and replace it with real American acting, you know?
Real patriotism on screen.
Yeah.
And to be fair, like, the American parts in this one are actually very well done.
Well acted.
Well acted.
Yeah.
There's an officer, Lovell. I think he's the best American actor I've seen in any kaiju media ever. I love him. He's my man.
What does he do? What did he say?
You have this other general and he's acting kind of like Raymond Burr does.
Yep.
He's just like classic head honcho giving orders around the place. But Lovell comes along and he's like, he's got such a small role, but he's acting his heart out. He knows this Americanization is coming to the US.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, I got to do something for the Japanese audience here.
Wow.
And actually make the US look good.
Wow. Yeah. There was another, there's an actress in those scenes that I think is like the secretary to the general there or like his assistant. She's just taking down notes randomly throughout those cutaways. But there's a few fun scenes where there's these two military officers that are fawning over her and trying to invite her out to dinner. And she's just blowing them off. She has a line that's like, men don't drool, they obey. Like, I don't want you drooling over me, guys.
I think one of them was asking about taking her to the movies and she's like, keep your buttery claws to yourself.
Yeah. Like, men aren't allowed to drool.
They obey.
We can only obey.
Only obey.
We must only obey.
No drooling from any of you listeners, okay?
Yeah, we better not catch any of you guys drooling. If you're a guy out there, do not, we may not catch you drooling at all.
We're watching.
Don't slack on us. But yeah, there are a few of those scenes, and I feel like majority of those scenes, and then the scenes later on, I think the additions are exclusively old military generals discussing plans of attack around conference room, board meeting room tables.
That's like 80% of it. I want to say there's like one scene where there's a radio show host, yes, and they're talking about, I think you mentioned it, but like the philosophical, how could Gamera even exist? Whereas I feel like the original didn't delve into it too much, but there's quite a well acted and quite humorous little scene here.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite addition. There was a scene of three, again, just old graying American dudes smoking cigars, talking on a talk show. And I think it's supposed to be like some sort of late night talk show or something, but the backdrop behind them was just the corner of the old equipment shed on a film shoot, like lighting rigs that are all turned off, ladders behind them.
It's like if you had a camera pointed at the set and just turned it 180 degrees just backwards and around.
Yeah, we'll put our talent there. Just sit down in front of all this stuff we don't want anyone to see. But yeah, real prestigious television spot these three had. And it's kind of a debate where one of them's debating that Gamera could be real. The other one's debating Gamera is not real. And this is my favorite addition to the movie because, like, it just devolves into lunacy. These two guys are going at each other's throats, calling each other ignorant apes. That's another Planet of the Apes connection, by the way.
That's how you do it.
That's how we do it. Calling each other apes, getting angry, getting out of their chairs, almost going for each other's throats. And then, like, the middle guy or the mediator for this debate's, like, talking and trying to say goodbye to the audience. You can't even hear what he's saying.
That's all we have time for today.
And it just cuts off. That's great. I like that. I like the world around this giant kaiju attacking just evolving into lunacy and just chaos. Mm.
I demand an apology. I've devoted my life to science.
Gentlemen,
you'll get no apology from me, Contraire. I prefer to explain.
You have no scholarship
to back your arguments. You have no arguments, gentlemen. Only invective. Read. Read, read, read Virgil's Laocoon, read Paradise Lost,
the ravings of a lunatic,
read of the Pyrites, the fire without and the frost within, read, you ignorant ape, read what intelligent men have written for thousands of years.
What did he call
please,
me?
Jules, please.
He called me an ape?
No, gentlemen. Not merely ape.
Quiet, please.
Ignorant ape. Why, you?
Remember the
call. How dare you call me an ape? Where'd you get your diploma? Made in Japan?
Ladies and gentlemen,
oh, you're
going to
give me a ride.
What
do
you
want?
I hope you'll be able to get home next week for another
guest. What do you expect to make out of this?
I think we don't give the Americanizations enough credit because it must be so hard to try and take this film where the crux of it is Gamera.
Yeah,
there's all these monster scenes, and you don't have the availability of the suit. You can't really use any of the same actors, so you do have to just try build up the world around it as much as possible. Like, that's a hard task, to make everything that isn't interesting, and palatable for the viewer, because you just kind of have to add whatever to the film that already exists.
And there are moments like that one that I think are pretty fun. And like glimpses of people within this world reacting to what's happening that I actually quite enjoy seeing. Like, what is daytime television looking like when these attacks are happening?
It feels like it could just properly be a scene in one of the original movies.
Yeah.
By the different language.
But then there's 90% of the American scenes in this movie, which are just the generals around the table discussing things. Yeah. And why are these in the film? Why do the American writers think that these would be fun additions to the movie?
I feel like most of the time it's just dumbing the plot down for the viewer.
It's just completely like not showing us things, but then just saying everything.
Yeah. You have the classic storytelling, you know, show, don't tell.
Yeah.
You don't want to be just thrown a bunch of dialogue and exposition. And it's worse in these when the dialogue is just unnecessary because everything is shown in the Japanese scenes.
And some of these discussions between these military guys go on for 5 minutes. And again, it's just old dudes just repeating what we've already seen on screen or what we already know is happening. They're like, oh, Gamera can eat fire. Well, what's the latitude and longitude of his
position right now. Let's get this military dude over there. Oh, what's that? The military isn't effective? Wow, let's talk to this person about his military garrison and see what they're doing about it.
We need to try pool our resources. Hey, Russia. Welcome to this movie. Russia, how do you feel about this situation?
And the Russian guys are whispering to themselves. It's just, like, I was sitting there for one of these five-minute scenes. I'm just like, why? Why are we sitting through this? Why is this a part of the movie? It's not entertaining in the slightest. It doesn't add anything to the movie in the slightest. It just seems like it's put in to make it seem more American and to just pad out the runtime of the film a little bit.
Really get the red, white, and blue coming through there.
Because there is a funny scene within that where apparently, like, all the nations of the world, there's a representative at this boardroom table from each of them. And they're like, okay, let's go around and just discuss, like, who wants to be a part of this mission. And America's like, yeah, we want to be a part of it. Russia's like, yeah, we want to be a part of it. And then they're like, well, okay, everyone else in the room, let's just put the rest of you to a vote. We don't need to hear from any other nations on the world, just America and Russia. You guys can put up your hands if you want to help.
Everybody who agrees, say aye. Fantastic. We won't even hear the nays. Let's just go ahead with the plan.
Yeah, it's America first and foremost. Russia's there. And then there's some other countries we don't even care about in the slightest. I wanted to hear from the New Zealand representative, Micah.
We can pull our resources.
Yeah, come on. But it just sucks. I don't know why they add these scenes in. And I do give credit where it's due to Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Because we had Steve Martin. And we had a lot of scenes with Steve Martin and Americans, but they actually got creative about inserting Steve Martin into the scenes of the movie, placing him alongside the Japanese characters. There's just none of that in this.
Instead of having a storyline that runs adjacent to the original movie, you actually try and interweave them a little bit. Like, that was seriously well done. And after watching, like you said, we're Americanization aficionados.
Yes.
Yeah. I would love to hear from you listeners if there are any Americanizations that you've seen that actually does a real good job of enhancing the movie rather than detracting from it.
Is it a common thing outside of kaiju movies?
Maybe not, at least not in the past few decades. Yeah. I don't think the practice is still there.
Because there's definitely, like, dubbed versions of movies and anime and other media. But I wonder if there is like heavily re-edited, remade media as much as there are in this kaiju genre.
I feel like people are a bit more trusting nowadays. Like, if you have subtitles, if people can understand the story that's already there, they trust the viewers enough to not need to be spoon-fed any extra information or have anything else to try and make the story a little bit more palatable.
It's just weird that back in the 50s and 60s, they felt the need to be like, wow, this is a Japanese movie.
This is such a good movie.
Yeah.
But Americans won't like it. No way.
There's parts of this. It's about Japanese culture. We don't want any of that. We want to remake that, put a new light on it, make it say USA and shining bright lights. It's just weird.
It's weird.
Yeah, I've never heard latitude and longitude so much in my life. It's like they were just thinking of what their next line was, and they'll just say latitude, longitude.
Latitude, longitude. I'm sad we didn't hear Pee-wee.
Yeah, Pee-wee's name is not uttered.
Chibi, not at all.
Toshio's still in this. It still has his whole story of being obsessed with turtles.
It makes it sound less and more intense than it is, though. Like, in the OG movie, we have his sister and his dad, you know, wanting him to get rid of his turtle because it's severely impacting his lifestyle at school. He's not talking with any of his classmates and then instead spending his time with his turtles. And this one, he's just a kid who likes turtles.
But the teacher in this one does say, like, he's going to get expelled because of his obsession with turtles. See these pictures that Toshio is drawing in class?
We found these in his desk.
We're going to expel
two turtles.
This dude. He's drawing turtles. He's going to get kicked out of the school.
Maybe it was just like, maybe the school had a no turtle policy.
Maybe it was like a sensitive matter.
It was a turtle regime incident
that happened.
we didn't talk about the turtle incident.
No, and Toshio's every day just bringing up this insensitive turtle incident. I'll expel the kid too. But was there anything that kind of like stood out to you essentially watching the film we watched last week once again? Was there anything that really loved watching scenes from? Or what did you think about Gamera?
Gamera's still fun. He's still super skinny.
Yeah.
I still really do appreciate the scenes where he's flying around, and especially in the latter half of the film when they're not trying to make him look like a UFO, but when you can clearly see this is like a puppet on wiring that is a turtle shell spinning around with fire coming out of each of its orifices.
Yeah, I can't even see the wiring though. Like, it is really cool. The flying Gamera. Because he's like coming off miniature sets, he's crashing into miniature sets, the whole set's exploding into fire and flames. And it looks awesome.
Still good. Little Toshio hanging from the lighthouse, still awesome.
Still a great practical effect.
There was the Gamera song.
Oh!
With the band.
The Gamera theme song, Micah. This is crazy. This was Adeline specifically for Gamera the Invincible, this American release. It was recorded by Wes Farrell and Artie Butler. They're called The Moons was their stage name.
Sorry, did you say Wes Farrell the Artie Butler?
Wes Farrell and Artie Butler. They're The Moons, Mike.
That's not a title.
No.
I'm Micah Drake, the arty butler.
Yeah, I'm a bit
I love my paints.
A bookish butler. I'm an arty butler. I'm a musical butler. The Butlers. The Moons.
Moons. What a great band name, The Butlers.
But months after the song's release, Gamera the Invincible, a bootlegged instrumental version of the song was released in the UK as Shingling at the Go-Go.
No.
And it did really well, the bootlegged instrumental version.
Shingling at the Go-Go.
You remove Gamera's name, give it a name like Shingling at the Go-Go. It does well, bro. Maybe that's what they should have called this movie.
Shingling the Invincible.
Shingling the Invincible.
Shingling in the Artie Butler.
Yeah. Gamera was still super impressive for me. There were times where you could specifically see things being shot at the suit's shell and ricocheting off. Like little fiery balls, little pellets.
Little flares.
Something, I don't know how they did it, but they were shooting things at the suit's shell. And then a ricochet noise would sound whenever it did it, which is pretty cool little addition. The Gamera's got this kind of what do you call it?
He's a turtle. He's
unbreakable shell.
Unbreakable.
Yeah.
I'm honestly shocked that these Japanese studios have a reputation of the suits going up in flames when they're not filming.
After the fact. Yeah.
Because the amount of fire in this movie. Suit must be so flame retardant.
There's that specific cutaway where it's focused on the inside of Gamera's mouth while fire's coming out of it. And fire isn't just coming out of his mouth. It's like inside his mouth. Like the inside of his mouth, his tongue, his jaw is just on fire. Mm. And it doesn't look like it's affecting the suit at all, which alone is impressive. Like, how did they create this suit to be able to handle this immense heat and this flamethrower inside of it?
Maybe that's like the last scene that they film of the movie. Like, hey, we've done everything else that's important. If the suit's going to go up in flames, let it be the last thing that's done.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I'm just going through like other things. It's not called Z Plan anymore. It's called Plan Z. A little simpler.
Is it?
I don't know. You'd call things Plan.
I guess so,
later,
yeah.
Right? It might have been like a weird translated thing initially from the Japanese version anyway. But something else that stood out to me, this spaceship that they trap Gamera in at the end, Gamera gets trapped in the little tippy top of the spaceship, and the spaceship just turns out to be so much bigger than the tip of it.
Dude, Gamera's heavy. You gotta get a good payload to help lift him off.
But there's Gamera, which is, he's the size of like the world's biggest skyscraper already, Tokyo Tower. That's Gamera, right? And they create, somehow the scientists of the world in a couple days create a rocket ship that is 10 times the size of Tokyo Tower.
Now, they've been working on Plan Z for the better part of the century.
Like, already in this day and age, we have rocket ships, a tiny little fragment of the size that have like disastrous launches or can't get off the ground and can't get into space. And yet in a couple of days with a rocket ship that should have been way into the atmosphere with how big it was, just perfectly gets to Mars. These scientists.
If they had an Americanization like that nowadays, you just know they'd be inserting scenes of Elon Musk being like, now's my chance. I'm going to make the biggest rocket you've seen.
We already had plans for the biggest rocket. We already have it. We already had it.
We've been working on this for the past 10 years.
It's already in this bunker. Ready to go, guys. Yeah, I mean, that's all the notes I had.
I really didn't have too much more than that.
What did you think, like, overall that it added anything to the film? All the changes they did it make it more enjoyable for you? But like, how do you feel in general?
I feel like whenever you add too many American scenes to something, it takes away from the feel of the movie. Like, regardless of how good the product of any original movie is, at least it's usually somewhat coherent and like a single focused story, and it has a soul feel to it.
Yeah.
But whenever you add American scenes, it just... as another layer, and it feels like you can't just have the untainted essence of the movie anymore.
Yeah, and it almost feels like a spit in the face, no matter how you look at it. Like, sure, some of the scenes might be enjoyable, some of the scenes might take away, but like, why does it even have to exist? Why do they feel the need to like edit something that was already pretty good?
It's crazy that at the time, it feels like there wasn't too much of a push for other countries' movies to actually be showcased and given merits for what they are.
Yeah, it's which like, sucks, right?
This is an okay movie, but it's going to be better if we pander to our own audience.
Yeah, which is something I really love about nowadays is that you have foreign films winning Oscars. You have foreign films like lauded and praised. Even like Godzilla Minus One did so well theatrically across the world, just released in its original language. So I really love how far the world's progressed in that sense. It's just crazy that there was a time in the like 50s and 60s where we were the complete opposite almost. We weren't regarding those things in a good way at all.
Yeah, it's a good change. I'm glad it's happened, and it just makes it interesting to look back on.
Yeah. What do you think, like, anyone stood out as much as Steve Martin? How do the characters compare to Steve Martin for you? Steve Martin's iconic from the Godzilla Americanizations.
Steve Martin's iconic. We had our like commander here, but I feel like his name was never mentioned.
Yeah. Does Lovell stand up?
Lovell though, dude. Lovell. Man, this guy. I'm gonna do some research real quick. I wanna see if Lovell has gone on to like win any Oscars.
Really? You think this was a great, this would have springboarded his American acting career?
I think so. Give Lovell some credit, dude. I don't even think he's listed in the cut. No, he is. Thomas Stubblefield. It's the only thing he's ever done. Man.
Well, that's a shame.
It is a shame. He would have gone huge.
That's a shame. I've got just a few more bits of trivia if you wanted to get into those.
Yeah, give it to me.
Apparently, to impress exhibitors, the creators of this Americanization claimed to have spent $1 million in advertising for the film, but sources say it was never close to $1 million, so they were pretty much lying. They were just like, hey, we're just going to spend so much money on Gamera the Invincible. We're getting a song made. We're going to be doing all this press, all these, but like, they were just all talk.
Everyone knows about this movie because of us.
Yeah. But yeah, the only other real piece of trivia I have is that this version of Gamera the Giant Monster, Gamera the Invincible, this Americanization version of the film, is one of seven giant monster movies which can be viewed in their entirety in the 2022 video game Kaiju Wars. Have you heard of this game, Micah?
I'm looking it up now. I can't say that it rings any bells.
It looks a little bit like Voxel Wars, like a top-down strategic video game.
It does.
But I don't know how this game's eluded us for so long. Why have we never talked about this before?
This seems right up my alley. What the heck is this? It only has 181 reviews on Steam, but it's 80%. It's listed as very positive. Tell you what, I might give it a buy sometime.
Do it. Well, there's seven giant monster movies, seven kaiju flicks that are hidden within the game. You can watch in their entirety.
They're actually hidden?
That's what this is. I'm not too sure. We're going to have to confirm for ourselves. But Gamera the Invincible's in there. Ape is in there. Attack of the Monsters is in there. Destroy All Planets. Pulgasari
Oh, I've heard of Pulgasari.
Tarantula.
Oh.
Yongari. Yongari, Monster of the Deep. There's a lot of films in there, which is super cool. I love it when video games hide whole other video games or movies or stuff like that within themselves. So yeah. I'm going to need to check it out as well. I reckon it'll be pretty fun.
There's a bundle at the moment, so it seems like it's on sale with a bunch of other cool games.
Hey. Hey. Are we? Are we going to create a Discord channel for Kaiju Wars to replace the...
My dream... Don't talk about replacing.
You're going to replace the Vox Awards channel that's on its deathbed as we speak.
No. It's thriving.
It's on its deathbed.
My dream is to have a... What is it? Drop-down channels? Or drop-down categories for servers in the Discord?
Forums.
No. Like, it's under a list.
Oh, yeah? Forums?
No.
Like how we do the spoilers?
We have our Battleline server.
Categories.
We have our category. I one day hope, my dream is to see our gaming category just have 80 different games on there that people can chat about. I want that to be most of our server.
Most of our Podzilla server where we only have like 2 or 3 movie categories.
Any monster-related game, just chuck it up there. People will play it.
Well, I'm deleting them all as soon as they get created.
I'm not going to rest easy in my grave until I see that happen one day. My soul will not move on past purgatory until that happens.
I'm creating a Planet of the Apes channel if you do that.
If there's a Planet of the Apes game, you can chuck it in there.
Okay, I will.
Because it was made in, what, the 70s?
Probably.
That's our link.
Yeah. No, because someone calls someone an ape in this movie. That's
an
the
ignorant
link.
Ape,
That's
even?
The link. Anyway, Micah, I will hand it over to you. What did you think of Gamera the Invincible, and do you have a rating for it?
It's fine. We gave our thoughts on the movie last episode, but I don't really think that this movie is superior. I think that's pretty obvious by the way we've been talking about it, but adding so much stuff that really just hinders the story and slows the storytelling down and really kind of takes away from what the original movie is trying to say. It just does get boring. I mean, we've talked about it, but there's almost no good that comes from having scenes of old white men being the focus of cabinet scenes, just talking about things that aren't important for minutes on end.
I just want one character in there that's under 50. Come on, please.
We really need some new life, some new blood.
Like, Raymond Burr wasn't a young guy, but he wasn't white in the head, you know? Gray in the hair.
Is that a term? White
slow,
in the head?
Slow in the stance.
Man, he's a bit white in the head, slow in the stance. Oh man, did you see Jayce yesterday? He was a bit slow in the stance.
Your stance
watch
is
out
slowing, man. Your head is whitening.
I think you mean gait.
Your gait?
Stance is the way you stand.
Yeah.
You can't stand slowly.
If you've got back problems and your limbs are slowly moving, if I was having like bone problems in my arm, Micah, and I was move my joints to make a stance, and it was slow going to get
stance
to that stance.
Stance is not a verb.
But if I was stancing slowly, that makes sense.
Whoa, he's stancing real fast.
You see how fast he got to that stance? That makes sense.
Whoa. Man, Gamera stanced so hard in this movie.
Hard doesn't work.
I mean, the movie's, the Japanese part of the movie is still real entertaining. I think it still shows off Gamera and his suit and his powers real well, and you still feel like he is this kind of somewhat benevolent threat. He fulfills a real weird niche in the movie, but yeah. Watch the original over this.
Mm-hmm.
Gamera the Giant Monster over Gamera the Invincible any day.
Gamera the Invincible. Yeah. How many ice fields are you groping, Micah, for this film? How many ice fields are you groping?
None, ideally. I'd grope 2 ice fields. What about you, dude?
I am groping 2 ice fields as well for Gamera the Invincible. The original's superior in every way. And I think just because we're listening to a substandard dub with boring additional scenes, even though Toshio is quite annoying, I think he's quite a lovable character in a way. And it just sucks that they've shortened down the scenes of him a bit. They've cut out fun little side plots with characters just to give us a few more minutes of Americans laying it down for us, telling us what we've already seen.
It's what we've all been waiting for.
Yeah. Yeah. But in saying so, I did like the addition of those two debaters attacking each other on live TV. That was fun. But yeah, original's better in every way. So make sure you watch Gamera the Giant Monster over Gamera the Invincible. Mm. Theme song slaps, though.
Theme song's good. I'm adding that to my daily rotation.
And it was fun how they replaced the song within the movie, that there's like a song playing at a nightclub and people are told to leave the nightclub because of Gamera. The original song was pretty good, but they've replaced that song with the Gamera theme song. So nightclub, people at the nightclub are dancing to a song that's singing about Gamera, and they're being told to leave because Gamera is going to destroy them. And they're like, no, we're just going to listen to the song about Gamera.
It's real fun.
It's real fun.
We're staring down the barrel of the gun.
Yeah.
And dancing whilst it's happening.
Yeah. Real meta.
Very meta.
Breaking the fourth wall while they're breaking the nightclub walls.
Leaning on the fourth wall.
They're leaning on it.
Actually, no, I don't. They wouldn't be. No, it's still good though. Jaysha.
Yeah.
What are we watching for next episode?
Next episode, we are actually tackling one of the Gamera films proper.
Yes!
Gamera versus Barugon? Not Barragon.
Barragon.
Barugon.
Barugon.
Barugon from 1966.
This always tripped me up when I saw this name.
There's Barragon and Barugon. Or you probably just say it as Barugon, right?
Barugon.
Barugon.
Barragon.
Barragon. What am I saying right now? Barragon. Who am I talking about?
A.
I was talking about Barugon. The synopsis goes,
this is going to get confusing.
Gamera burns the streets of Osaka in an instant. Barugon freezes Osaka Castle with a single gust, an underwater clash at Lake Biwa. Gamera escapes from his rocket enclosure and makes his way back to Earth as a giant opal from New Guinea is brought back to Japan.
What?
The opal is discovered to have been an egg that births a new monster called Barugon. The creature attacks the city of Osaka by emitting a destructive rainbow ray from his back, along with a freezing spray capable of incapacitating Gamera.
I'm looking forward to this. Real quick, looking up what Barragon looks...
Barragon?
Barragon. Barragon looks like.
Yeah.
They seem like an Anguirus type of monster, very spiny dinosaur. But I'm curious by the inclusion of the ice breath, the rainbow ray out of the back, the New Guinea opal.
Yeah, the New Guinea opal. I'm really looking forward to it. We've just got a couple of reviews from our listeners as well. For Gamera the Invincible and Gamera the Giant Monster, which I thought would be cool to quickly get to. We have one here from J.B. Mason, our acting friend.
Yes.
That American accent Mikey did during the synopsis was just for you, J.B.
Yeah, please rank it. Get me in one of your films.
Yeah. J.B. says, oh man, this dub is not good. And when there isn't dub, there's extended scenes of old white American dudes talking or arguing, which I have to admit was entertaining at times, but completely ruined the tone and gets old fast. Please, I'm begging you, just watch the original Japanese version. And JB gives it 1 out of 5. JB's groping one single ice field.
A single.
We have one here from Rich as well, our pal Rich. Rich says, it's been at least 25 plus years since I've seen this, and wow, it's not good. The Gamera song sucks. The dubbing is atrocious. The inserted American scenes are absolutely pointless, but it's Gamera. This def wasn't my first introduction to him, but I'm left with, why Americanize this? And Rich says all that and gives it 4 Gameras out of 5. He hates,
scathing
hates
review.
The film, but his love for Gamera just bumps it all the way up.
We will continue our search to find an Americization that actually improves on the movie.
Yeah, there'll be one out there, surely. And then I'll just get to a couple of reviews for Gamera the Giant Monster. We've got one here from Frogit, and Frogit says, had a lot of fun with this. As someone who's only seen the Heisei trilogy, this was a delight and a fun return to the Showa era of kaiju films. This movie would have been pretty generic if it wasn't for Gamera becoming a flying saucer and the world's government stuffing him in a rocket and blasting him off to space. Froga gave Gamera the Giant Monster 3.5 peewees out of 5.
Nice.
Yeah, we got one more review here from Adron. Adron says, hello, Jaysha and Micah. This is Sir Bruce. Sir Bruce.
I've heard the rumors.
We've heard tales of Sir Bruce. Sir Bruce says, I watched Godzilla 1954 on a whim a few months ago for the first time and was hooked. Shortly after watching it, I discovered your podcast and have been making my way through the movies you two have covered in the show. Now enough digressing, on to my review. I do find Gamera himself to be an interesting and well-designed monster, and the special effects were pretty good. I especially loved his fire breath, and it looked great. The idea of sending Gamera to space was a pretty unique way of defeating him, but overall I feel like this movie kind of retreads a lot of ground that Toho had already covered for a decade prior to this. Overall, I'd give Gamera the Giant Monster 2.5 giant monsters out of 5.
Sir Bruce, thanks for your review. Yeah, I'm always very curious when we first see the introduction of a monster like this, where they take them.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they improve on Gamera in terms of like his social status as well by really linking him with the children.
His social status.
Yeah.
Well, his social security card.
His social security has improved.
Yeah.
You don't really ever hear about monsters being upgraded and improved by the things that are happening around them.
Mm.
And I don't know. I just want to see him being friends with some children, you know?
Getting a good credit score.
Acing his exams.
Yeah, you want to see him. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Getting into university with some scholarships.
But yeah, thanks for your reviews, guys. It was really cool to check out Gamera the Giant Monster, the first Gamera movie, a couple times, one with an American twist. But yeah, we'll be back next week for Gamera versus Baragon. And if you'd like to have your review or your thoughts on that movie mentioned on the show, email us at podzillapod@gmail.com or tag us on Letterboxd as you write your review for the film over there. We can't promise it will read out every single email we get, but we'll try to get to the majority of them.
Jaysha, before we end the episode, can I petition real quick?
Yes.
May we hear your American accent?
I can't do an American accent.
Please, Jaysha, please.
Okay, can you give me something to go off?
Can you read that first line there? Keep your buttery claws to yourself. Men don't drool, they obey.
Keep your buttery claws to yourself. Men don't drool, they obey.
I mean,
was that American?
Hello. It's like a bit Texan.
Hey there, hello there, I'm Jaysha Drake. Hey there, I'm Jaysha Drake.
Hey there, I'm Jaysha Drake.
I just go cowboy. Well, howdy there. I'm American.
Welcome to Podzilla.
Welcome back to Podzilla. I'm American, and this is an American accent I'm doing right now.
You're not wrong.
This is American.
The thing is, there's like 50 different states, and they all have different accents.
So any voice we do,
any of those 50 counts as American.
Someone in America sounds like that.
Yeah, someone does.
Someone does.
Podzilla.